Prologue, November 3rd, 1886. "Please," she said. "Please, come back for me." The tears flowed from her bloodshot eyes, coating her cheeks in a glistening flood of pain, desire, and last-minute hope. "Please, come back for me." "Well, where is she?" she exclaimed, standing on the front porch of the large mansion. Looking back at the house's front door was a woman in a white dress that trailed behind her on the ground. She carried a matching parasol in one hand and a purse in the other. "Newbern," she called. A tall, lanky man, dressed in a black suit, walked from inside the house and approached her on the porch. "Yes, Mrs. Cohen." "Newbern, I insist. Go up there and tell her to come down now. I don't care how you do it. Drag her down if you must. Just get her down here immediately. We will miss the train." Newbern turned his head as if to look past all four stories of the big white mansion. He could almost see the young teenage girl standing where he had last left her, in front of the bay window, looking out into the setting sun. A look of pity crossed his face. He turned his head back to the lady in front of him. "Ma'am," he began softly. "I believe she was still packing." "Newbern, I do not care," snapped Mrs. Cohen. "Go and pack for her if you must. We will not dwell in this country a second longer, especially this part of the country." Newbern lowered his head in submission to his master's wife. "Yes, Mrs. Cohen." He turned around and walked back inside the house. He proceeded up the first flight of stairs from the foyer to the second story. He took a left at the top of the stairs and made his way down the long hallway towards a spiral metal staircase, corkscrewing its way to the third and fourth stories. Newbern passed to the third story and continued to the fourth, a heavy burden weighing significantly on his heart the farther he went. He came to a slow stop as he took the final step and looked directly before him. The fourth story was a small room with wooden floors, floral wallpaper, and a pane glass window on both walls to his left and right. Under the window, to his left, was a small wooden table with a glass vase containing only water. Under the window to his right was a love seat. And directly in front of him was a white door. He stared at it for several seconds. His breathing became heavy, and his heart sank deeper. "Be strong, John," he told himself. "Be strong for her. She will probably need you." He walked over to the white door and gave three knocks. Then, after hearing no response for several seconds, he slowly opened the door. Inside the room was a bed, its headboard flush against the left wall, with an organza canopy suspended from the ceiling above. Opposite its footboard, on the right side of the room, was a desk with a large mirror stationed on top. A bay window looking into the west was to the right of the bed. There stood a young woman, gazing out into the setting sun. Her tear-covered cheeks sparkled in the light of the early evening. The color of her blue dress mixed with the blood-red sun shining upon her. Newbern fixed his eyes on her, and his heart sank even faster as he did. "Miss Cohen." The young girl did not respond. He walked around the bed and stood behind her. "Miss Cohen, I'm afraid it's time." "He will come for me, Newbern," she said. "He told me that he would. I have to be here to wait for him." Newbern placed his hand on her shoulder. "And I do not doubt that he has tried with all his might, Miss Cohen, but he has not come in time. It's too late now." The young Miss Cohen turned around and faced Newbern. It was not until then that he saw the depth of her pain, the brokenness, and the fragility of her heart. Newbern's heart had stopped sinking and finally hit the pit of his anguish.
Newbin, she cried. I cannot leave him.
She wrapped her arms around the tall man and buried her head in his chest.
I cannot leave him. I cannot. I cannot.
Newborn put aside his position as this girl's butler and slowly wrapped his arms around her, holding her like she was his daughter.
I know, dear one. I know.
He could not help the tears that began to swell up in his eyes.
But you know that he was only thinking of you when he brought you back to us. I did not want to come back. I wanted to be with him. He said that he would try to come back for me. Why hasn't he come? Oh, how I wish he would return for you, dear one. The last thing I wanted was for this to happen to you.
He placed his hand on the back of her head.
Dear one, no matter how hard we try...
Newbin! Echoed Mrs. Cohen's voice from downstairs. You tell that ungrateful girl that we are leaving now with or without her luggage.
Newborn looked over and saw two suitcases on the bed with stacks of clothes scattered all over the comforter.
We are almost done, ma'am. May we have 5 more minutes to finish the last of the young Miss Cohen's packing? Hurry it up now, not a second longer.
With his hand, Newborn motioned Miss Cohen's head back to where he could look into her red, teary eyes.
Ma'am, it's time. We must be off.
The young girl placed her palms on Newborn's chest.
Newbin, wait. There is something that I must do. Please, I need your help.
Anything, ma'am.
She wiped her tears with her sleeve.
Please, finish my packing for me. There is something that I need to write.
Newborn bowed his head with a smile on his face.
I am at your service, my lady.
He walked over to the bed and began to fold the scattered clothes and place them individually in her suitcases. Now and then he would look up to see how she was doing. She was over at her desk, writing a 1-page letter. He could hear her trying and failing to hold back her crying. Pain shot through his heart every time he heard a teardrop fall from her face and land on the paper in front of her. She took a match, a stick of red wax, and an envelope from inside the desk's top drawer. She folded the letter and placed it inside the envelope. Striking the match, she put its flame against the wax, dripping its liquid on the lip of the envelope. Next, she grabbed a metal signet from the top of her desk and placed it against the hot wax on the letter, sealing it closed. She reopened the top drawer and gazed inside one last time before setting the letter inside and closing it. On top of her desk was a small jewelry box. She opened it and pulled out a small key. Placing it into the top drawer, she locked it up and set the key back inside the jewelry box.
Miss Cohen, said Newborn, your suitcases are packed and ready to go.
The young lady stood up and closed the jewelry box. Then, turning around, she saw Newborn standing close to her bedroom door, holding a suitcase in each hand.
Newbin, you will oversee the final details of the house before returning home with us, will you not?
Yes, ma'am. Your father has instructed me to oversee the estate's security before rejoining you and your parents overseas.
I need to request something of you.
Yes, Miss Cohen.
The young lady pointed to the top drawer of her desk. The contents inside of that drawer are of high value. Therefore, no one is to open it. The consequences are too high.
May I ask why not take whatever it is with you, dear one? Should such material be of such a high value?
Miss Cohen looked at the drawer.
No, it belongs here. It was written here, and here it must stay.
Yes, ma'am. Anything else?
Miss Cohen looked back into Newborn's eyes and walked over to him.
Yes. Lock down my room, Newbin. Lock it down and make sure no one touches it. Make a notice for any of my relatives who should try to obtain or inherit the estate not to touch this room. No one must come in.
No one, ma'am.
The young lady looked back at the drawer.
Well, I expect someone to come in here someday, but I predict it will not be any time soon. However, it will be the right person. Of that I am certain.
Newbern! Screamed Mrs. Cohen from downstairs again. 5 minutes are up! No more time! You both come down this instant!
We are on our way now, ma'am, Newbern called back.
Miss Cohen walked out of the room with her head down. Newbern followed her, carrying her luggage. They walked down the spiral staircase to the second story, where they found Mrs. Cohen, waiting at the bottom step.
Honestly, Rose, snapped Mrs. Cohen, after I have given you so much mercy and grace, after all I have done for you to preserve your honor in society, the least I would expect from you in return would be a sense of integrity.
Miss Cohen lowered her eyes to the floor.
Rose, look at me, demanded Mrs. Cohen.
The young girl kept her attention on the green carpet of the hall. Mrs. Cohen slipped her fingers underneath her daughter's chin and raised her head. She glared down her nose at the girl.
Rose Anne Marie Cohen, someday you will learn to behave like a woman. But for now, you might start by trying to get rid of all of those boorish ideas of living another life and embrace the life that has been carefully prepared and destined for you since you were a child.
Rose looked back into her mother's piercing eyes.
Don't worry, mother. After everything you have done against my chance of another life, I'm sure I will do my best to enjoy the only life I have left.
Mrs. Cohen pinched her daughter's chin between her fingers.
It's only because of me that you have another life to go to, young lady, so watch your tongue while you still have room to speak.
She released her daughter's face.
Now go out to the carriage.
Rose lowered her head again, passed her mother, and quietly walked to the stairs that led to the foyer, while Newbern followed behind her. She quickly reached the bottom floor and walked out the front door into the white, wooden porch. The smell of autumn trees splashed against her face. Suddenly, the reality of what was happening began to hit her. This would be the last time she would ever step out of this house. Tears started to form in her eyes again, but she quickly wiped them off with her sleeve. The sound of horses nickering reached her ears. She shook her head, fell out of her daze, and noticed a stagecoach waiting in front of the house.
My chariot comes to whisk me away, she said softly through her quivering lips.
She made her way down the stairs of the front porch and walked to the stage. Upon reaching it, the driver hopped down and opened the door for her.
Thank you, she whispered as she climbed inside.
The driver climbed to the top of the carriage and returned to his seat. Newbern passed up the two suitcases from the ground, which the driver took and strapped down with the rest of the luggage.
Out of our way, Newbern, came Mrs. Cohen's impatient demand from behind.
Newbern turned around and saw Mrs. Cohen and her husband, a tall man with broad shoulders and a strong chin, dressed in a gray suit, standing behind him. Newbern obliged and stepped aside, allowing Mrs. Cohen to enter the carriage.
Come along, Jeffrey, she said to her husband as she stepped inside.
Mr. Cohen entered the carriage and Newbern closed the door behind him.
Thank you, Newbern, he said as he sat down.
Mr. Cohen then stuck his head out of the carriage window.
Newbern, I trust you to leave everything in good order. Should we ever need the estate for future use, I shall want it to be as in good condition as when we left it today. So ensure everything is locked up and tidied before you and the rest of the servants return home.
Yes, Master Cohen, said Newbern, bowing his head.
I shall take care of all of the paperwork concerning the restrictions of the estate to the courthouse today.
Jeffrey Cohen reached his hand out of the carriage and shook Newborn's hand firmly.
You are a good man, Newbern. I would never trust another.
Thank you, sir, replied Newbern.
Mr. Cohen pulled his head back into the carriage.
Driver, we are ready.
Rose quickly looked at Newbern from her window.
Newbern, you haven't forgotten what I asked you to do for me?
Newbern smiled and bowed his head to the young Miss Cohen.
I remember, my lady, and will proceed with the instructions that you have given me.
Rose smiled at him,
and gave one last look at the large white mansion before the carriage took off down the long gravel driveway. She leaned back into her seat and tightly closed her eyes, sending more tears down her face. My dear Rita, please find me. Please read about my life and all that took place. Please remember me. I want to be remembered. He ran as fast as he could. His moccasins were caked in mud from the ground and covered in dry, dead grass. His red and black striped wool poncho trailed in the wind. His long black hair whipped through the air as he picked up his pace. His buckskin pants and loincloth were covered in blood. In his right hand, he carried 7 roses, and in his left, he held a dagger. The tall grass of the meadow wrapped around his thighs and ankles as he plowed through the field. He stopped at the top of a hill and saw the white mansion in the distance. "Please still be there, my Rose," he said, panting hard. He charged down the hill toward the house. "Please be there." Newborn was inside the house overseeing the activities of the servants. They covered everything in white sheets. The chairs, the tables, and the counters, all the furniture in each bedroom upstairs and every room downstairs, everything was covered. There was a rapid knock on the front door. Newborn stopped surveying, walked into the foyer, and opened the door. Standing on the porch was a young Indian, dressed in a red and black striped poncho, leaning his left hand against the doorframe, panting hard. Newborn's eyebrows raised high in disbelief. "Burning Eagle?" The Indian looked up. "John, I am glad you answered the door." He stood up straight. "I have come to talk to Miss Cohen. May I see her?" A grave expression crossed Newborn's face. "My dear boy, she's gone." The man's skin went pale as his heart nearly stopped. "What?" "She's gone, lad."
"When? How long ago?"
"She and her family left about half an hour ago."
"Will they be coming back sometime?"
"I'm afraid not, my lad."
"Where did they go?"
"They went back home. To England." Paralyzing shock numbed his body.
"Will she ever come back?"
Regret consumed Newborn's expression. He shook his head. Burning Eagle began to back up slowly. The same look that was once on Rose's face was now on his own. His eyes began to swell. The roses fell out of his hand and landed on the white porch. The sound of gunshots and the shouting of men proceeded from the backyard. The young Indian's face became alert.
"No, no, not now. Leave me alone."
Newborn looked down and saw the blood on the young man's pants and loincloth. He noticed that it came from what appeared to be a bullet wound on his left side.
"Burning Eagle, what happened to you?"
The young Indian did not hear Newborn. Everything was in a fog for him.
"Rose! Rose!"
Tears began to flood down his face. The gunfire sounded closer, forcing Burning Eagle to think as clearly as possible. He forced himself to move despite his anguish. Then, without another thought, he raced down the right side of the porch, hopped over the railing, and dashed in a full sprint across a meadow toward the edge of the woods.
"There he is!"
shouted a man from behind the house. Shots were fired repeatedly. Newborn ran down the right side of the porch and stood at the railing. He saw a band of men carrying rifles, pistols, ropes, and torches chasing the Indian into the woods, shooting their guns whenever they saw an opportunity.
Stop! Newborn shouted to the mob at the top of his lungs. Stop! It wasn't him! He was not one of them! He was not one of them! Don't shoot!
The mindless rabble did not hear his plea. They chased the young Indian into the forest like a pack of wild dogs after a rabbit. Burning Eagle made it to the edge of the woods and darted into the thicket like a sparrow. The savage townspeople plowed their way through the thorns and vines bordering the forest's edge and continued deeper into the trees until the light of their torches was no longer visible. Newborn's eyes were wide in horror. Dear God, please, protect that boy.
Mr. Newborn, came a voice behind. He turned around and saw one of the maids standing behind him, a look of alarm on her face.
Sir, I heard gunfire, she exclaimed.
She noticed Newborn's faint-hearted expression as he grabbed his chest.
Mr. Newborn, are you all right, sir?
Newborn stared wide-eyed at the porch floor, stroking his hand across his forehead.
I'm sorry, Miss Mandy. Could you please restate the question?
I asked if you were all right, sir.
Newborn took his handkerchief from his coat pocket and wiped down his face.
I'm sorry, Miss Mandy. Please, one more time.
Mandy placed her hand on Newborn's shoulder.
Mr. Newborn, I think you need to see a doctor, sir.
Newborn slowly came out of his daze.
What? No, nonsense. I'll be just fine, thank you.
Are you sure, sir?
Yes, yes, I'll be just fine. Is there anything else that you need me to help you with?
Mandy looked past Newborn into the woods in the distance. Two bright flashes of light exploded in the woods, followed by the quick sound of two rifle shots.
Ignore it, Miss Mandy, said Newborn sternly.
Mandy looked up into Newborn's strict, yet worried eyes.
We cannot do anything about it, he said. It is beyond our reach now.
Mandy nodded her head.
Now, is there anything else I can help you with?
He asked. Two more gunshots echoed from the woods. Mandy did her best to ignore the gunfire, focusing on Newborn's eyes.
We are done with draping all the furniture, sir. All the remaining items belonging to Mr. and Mrs. Cohen are ready to be transported. The only room I have not touched is the young Miss Cohen's room upstairs. Shall I proceed with hers now, sir?
Newborn looked up past the balcony above him, through all four stories again, at Rose's room.
No, Miss Mandy. I thank you for your services, but that room is not to be touched by anyone.
Sir?
It has been a special request made by Miss Cohen. I shall oversee its security myself.
Newborn walked past Miss Mandy.
Mr. Newborn, said Mandy. He wasn't one of them, was he?
Newborn stopped walking and looked over his shoulder back at Mandy.
Who wasn't?
That young Indian. He was not one of them from that other tribe that tried to hurt Miss Cohen, was he?
Newborn glanced at the edge of the woods behind him out of the corner of his eye.
No, he wasn't.
Who was he, sir?
Newborn took a deep breath and let it out slowly.
One that loved her more than his own life, Miss Mandy. That's who he was.
Newborn looked down and saw the seven roses the young Indian had dropped lying at his feet. He knelt and picked up each one. Then, carrying them in his hands, he walked back inside and up the stairs to the second story. Turning left, he came to the metal staircase that spiraled all the way to the fourth story. With slow steps, Newborn made his way to the top floor. He looked at the roses in his hands, stroking their petals with his fingers.
That's odd. They're warm.
He looked inside the rosebuds and saw a small light blooming. What in the world? The light withdrew deep into the heart of the rosebuds. Newborn shook his head.
My mind must be playing tricks on me again.
He reached the very top and stepped onto the wooden floor of the fourth story. Silence. It filled the whole room. The confinements that once held the bellowing of an angry mother and a crying daughter were left to the haunting stillness of history.
Newborn walked over to the vase on the small table to the left. He gently placed all 7 roses in its waiting water. Why did she trust you with all her stories, John? She shared with you the truth. You know it's the truth, too. Oh, but it sounds so ridiculous. Could all of that really be possible?
Newborn looked through the open bedroom door as the last few seconds of sunlight bled into the foyer. He stepped inside the room and glanced one last time through the bay window, taking in the fading horizon of the silhouetted tree line and the bleeding red sun falling out of sight in the distance.
She will never stand there again. She will never feel his touch again. What good could have come from all this pain and suffering? How could this be the great plan? Is there any chance of that love finding them again?
He walked outside the room, reached inside his coat pocket, and pulled out a brass key. He pulled the door closed and, with the turn of the key, sealed it off from the rest of the world.
This is the end of the prologue. Chapter 1 has also been released on the same day. Skip ahead to the next episode to continue. If you like what you heard, please like and subscribe and share with your friends and family. It really helps the show. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcasting platforms. What Shines with the Dawn was written and created by C. Taylor Eason. Copyright Christian Taylor Eason, 2024.